before we start, let us pay homage to the Buddha first. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Today my topic is Companion of Processed Food. Consciousness operates in two ways. One is cognitive process, viti, that we have studied before. Viti, there are two types of viti, five doors cognitive process. Another one is mind door cognitive process that we have studied previously. Today we will discuss process three. That's out of the VT, out of process, out of the cognitive process. There are three types of consciousness belong to process three. One is rebirth linking consciousness. Number two is death consciousness. And number three is bhavanga. There are 19 process-free citta. There are 19 consciousness act as process-free consciousness. What are the 19? Two investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. Two investigating consciousness, one is wholesome, one is unwholesome. So if unwholesome investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity, this will become the rebirth consciousness for those reborn in four woeful states. And another wholesome investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity become the consciousness for those who born in human as deformed beings, like born blind, born deaf, and so on. And another 8 great resultants. This 8 also act as 19 act as process-free consciousness, as rebirth consciousness, bhavanga, and death consciousness. And another 5 material resultants also act as rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness. And the last one, the 4 immaterial resultant consciousness. So all these 19 consciousness act as process-free consciousness. And this 19 consciousness function as rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness. Let's see their connection. In the past life, the last consciousness is called death consciousness. Immediately, death consciousness, without a gap, rebirth consciousness arises in a new life. After rebirth consciousness, bhavanga consciousness. There are 16 bhavanga consciousness. After 16 bhavanga consciousness, the first cognitive process arises in one's life. After cognitive process finished, bhavanga arises again. If so long there's no cognitive process, Bhavanga consciousness will arise continuously until the new cognitive process arises. So the consciousness continue to flow up to that consciousness. So the rebirth consciousness, let's say, one consciousness accompanied by wisdom, accompanied by knowledge, spontaneous, asangarika. There are eight resultant consciousness. Four are dissociated from knowledge. Four are associated from knowledge. I don't know whether you still remember or not. So suppose one of this eight arises as rebirth consciousness. And that this same consciousness will go on as a bhavanga. So all this bhavanga is the same type as rebirth consciousness. Then continue again up to death consciousness. So that one consciousness associated with knowledge, the same consciousness reappear again as death consciousness. So in one's life, rebirth consciousness, bhavanga consciousness, and death consciousness is the same consciousness. Can you follow me? If you don't have the basic of first chapter, you can't follow me. Consciousness, we have wholesome consciousness, resultant consciousness. So one of the resultant consciousness will act as rebirth consciousness, bhavanga consciousness, and the death consciousness. Okay. At the moment of conception, the first consciousness arises, linking the new existence to the old. It's called relinking consciousness. Okay. And throughout the course of existence, up to the death, throughout the course of existence, this same type of consciousness arises countless times as the passive flow of bhavanga, maintaining the continuity of existence, because mind cannot stop flowing. So bhavanga must arise in two cognitive processes in order to preserve the continuity of consciousness. And at that, this same consciousness again occurs as the passing away from one existence. So the same consciousness perform different function at different time. If it arises at the first moment of conception, it is called rebirth consciousness. If it arises in the course of existence, it is called bhavanga. If it arises at the end of one's life, it is called death consciousness. So it's the same consciousness perform different function at different times. Is it clear to you? Okay. So to strengthen your understanding, let me explain to you one more time. What's the meaning of bhavanga? Bhavanga means the cause or factor of existence. Suppose here is the cognitive process. Past bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, arresting bhavanga, five door, averting consciousness, eye consciousness, receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness, determining consciousness, and seven jhavana. After seven jhavana, two registering consciousness. Then the cognitive process finished. But after this called eye-door cognitive process. After eye-door cognitive process finished, before mind-door cognitive process arises, bhavanga must arise in between, in order to preserve the continuity of existence. If there is no bhavanga here, then the continuity of consciousness breaks in between. That's not possible. The continuity of consciousness cannot break unless anagami or arahant enter into Nirodha Samapatti, the attainment of cessation. If not, no consciousness can stop flowing. So in order to preserve that continuity of consciousness, Bhavanga must arise in between. That's why Bhavanga is called the cause or factor of existence. Is it clear? Okay. So after that vibrating, my door connected process arise. Vibrating Bhavanga, arresting Bhavanga, my door averting consciousness, seven Javana, and two registering consciousness. Then my door connected stop flowing. Stop. My door connected process stop. Before another mind door connected process arise, Bhavanga must arise in between. If Bhavanga do not arise in between, then there's a break between consciousness. Okay. So now you should be able to understand the function of Bhavanga. And rebirth Bhavanga and that consciousness are resultant consciousness. Let me give you an example. Suppose in a past life, during one person's dying moment, because of the wholesome karma performed in the past, not only this life, the past in this life can be few lifetimes ago. So because of wholesome karma offering the flower to the Buddha, so at his dying moment, the karma nimitta appear as a flower which he had used to perform the wholesome karma of offering flower to the Buddha. So this last connected process take flower as object. And why does flower appear? Why? Because of karma, because of previous karma, which has met all the condition to ripen, to produce rebirth consciousness. Thus, this flower appear. So the last connected process take this flower as object and that person pass away. And without gap, rebirth consciousness arise in the present life. And this rebirth consciousness appear because of past karma. That's why the rebirth consciousness also take this color as object. And since rebirth consciousness and Bhavanga is the same consciousness, so the Bhavanga also take flower as object. And after that, the dead consciousness, in this present life also take the color of flower as object. That's why it is said that rebirth consciousness, Bhavanga, and death consciousness are resultant consciousness, are a result of previous karma. Is it clear? Okay. And in one single life, rebirth consciousness, Bhavanga, and death consciousness take the same object. But next life, it will take different object. Now we come to four sets of four. The compendium of process fee cover these four sets of four. Number one is called four planes of existence. Number two, four modes of rebirth linking. Number three, four kinds of karma. And number four, fourfold event of death. Now we come to planes of existence first. According to Buddhism, the earth is an insignificant speck in the universe, and it is not the only inhabitable world, and humans are not the only living beings. Indefinite are the world system, and so are living beings. The external universe is an outer reflection of different states of consciousness. And the outer world is also the world apprehended by consciousness. And the type of consciousness, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, determine the nature of the world that appears. Like unwholesome consciousness appear in a four woeful state. Wholesome consciousness appear in sensual or blissful plane. And when the Buddha preached the Dhamma, beings from other worlds system also come to listen to the Dhamma. So the world we stay is not only it's not the only one. It's not the only world. Births can take place in 31 different planes of existence according to their moral or immoral karma. When the karma to be born in one plane exhausted, suppose the karma to be born in the human plane exhausted, rebirth will take place in another plane corresponding to the karma ripened. These 31 planes of existence not only in our universe, but is found amongst millions of other world systems. And no world is permanent. Through the most powerful telescope, we see that old stars are being burnt out and the new stars are being formed. Now we come to 31 planes of existence. There are four woeful states and the seven sensuous blissful planes, including one human and six devas. And there are 16 five material sphere planes above the deva, where the Brahma stay. And the last, the four immaterial sphere planes. So they are all 31 planes of existence. And this plane of existence is the plane where living beings come into existence due to their moral or immoral karma. And they live for a while, and finally they die when their karma exhausted. So they move from one place to another place according to karma ripened. And where is the situation? The situation of the planes of existence. Where is the plane situated? Under the ground, that's called Niraya, hell, is situated below the surface of the earth. There are eight major Nirayas, eight major hells. They differ in nature depending on the degree and severity of the evil deeds committed. Like Devadatta. Devadatta now is in the lowest hell, which is called Avijji hell. And each major Niraya is said to be surrounded by five minor Niraya. And this hell are matter produced by temperature, conditioned by one's evil karma. And it is said that the hell is congested, full of beings. And human, animal, peta is hungry ghost, and asura, ram, exist on the surface of the earth. We all stay together. We stay with the hungry ghost, with animals, and with asura. And the six deva realms exist above the ground and high up in the sky. And the 65 material planes and 4 immaterial planes are above deva realms. So this is the situation of the planes of existence. Now we come to the lowest realm, that's called Niraya. Niraya means hell. So woeful states, where beings atone for their evil karma. They have to suffer the result of their evil deeds from the beginning of their lives until the end, without a moment's respite. No rest at all. From the beginning up to the end, they suffer intensely and continuously. One of my friends in Pa'au, when she practiced loving kindness meditation, then she make a wish. She make a wish, want to see where is Devadatta. So she sent her light down to the Niraya, up to the Avijja. Then she saw Devadatta there. So the power of concentration is very great. The next one is animal. Beings are born as animals on account of evil karma. Another one is peta, hungry ghost. Hungry ghosts possess deformed physical forms, generally invisible to the eyes, and they are tormented by intense hunger and thirst. They have no place of their own but dwell in forest, cemetery, and dirty surroundings. Some of the hungry ghosts live on people's merit, so that if you transfer merit to them, then they can live more comfortably. And if they want to display themselves to somebody, then that someone can see that hungry ghost. The next is asura. They are tormented spirits similar to the petas and live in remote places. Now we come to 7 sensuous blissful planes. Number 1 is human realm. Number 2, the realm of the 4 great kings. And number 3, the realm of the 33 gods. Number 4, the realm of the Yama gods. And number 5, the delightful realm. Number 6, the realm of the gods who rejoice in their own creations. And number 7, the realm of the gods who lord over the creation of others. Number 1 is Manusa. In the 7 blissful plane, number 1 is Manusa. Manusa literally means those who have sharp and developed minds. And it's a mixture of both pain and happiness. I think we understand very well. And the next is Deva realm. There are all 6 Deva realms. The Devas have physical forms which are more subtle and bright than those of the human beings. That's why sometimes when the Deva come to the monastery, in the sutta we often see the monastery will become very bright because of the brightness of the Deva. And the luxuries enjoyed by Devas are far superior to human pleasures. The 6 celestial planes are Devas' temporarily blissful abodes. All Devas look as if they are 20 years old. and Devi is 16. However, they are also subject to death. And all the Deva eat only celestial food. So their body produce no feces. Not like us. After finish, have to go to toilet. And all the Deva never age, never become old. And among the six Deva realm, number one is called Chatu Maharajika, the realm of the four great king, the lowest realm of the heavenly realm where the four guardian deities reside and rule the four directions. This Chatu Maharajika is situated in the center of the universe. In our universe, there is one mountain, invisible mountain, called Mount Meru. So in this, in the center, in the middle of this mountain is called, is the abode of Chatu Maharajika. And the top of the mountain is called Tawatingsa, the god of 33. Tawatingsa, the celestial realm of the 33 Devas, where Deva Sakha is the king. It was in this heaven that the Buddha taught the Abhidhamma to the Devas for 3 months. One day, the Buddha in Savatthi, he performed 3 miracles. That is, half of his body emitted water, and another half emitted fire. Because he entered, the Lord Buddha entered into jhana very fast. He can change fire kasina and water kasina very fast. And in between jhana for water kasina jhana process to fire kasina jhana process, in between these two processes, only 2 bawanga. Only 2 bawanga. So how fast it changed from fire kasina to water kasina. And this type of knowledge is not shared by other disciples. Even the Moggallana, foremost in psychic power, cannot change from fire kasina to water kasina in such swift speed. For disciple, when they change one jhana process to another jhana process, there's 16 bawanga in between. But for Lord Buddha, only 2 bawangas in between. So this 3 miracles is not shared by the disciples. So after Buddha performed this 3 miracles, emit half of his body, emit fire, another half emit water. After that, then he want to go to Tawatingsa. So using his psychic power, he lift up one of his feet and step on Chatu Maharajika. One step only, reach Chatu Maharajika. And another step, I lift up another step on the ground and reach Tawatingsa. So, using his psychic power, Lord Buddha used 2 steps and reached Tawatingsa. Okay, number 3 is Yama. Yama God. Number 4, Tusita. Number 5, Limbanarati. The beings here enjoy the 5 sense objects which they created for themselves. Whatever they want, they just create according to their thoughts. Number 6, Paramita Vasavati. These beings enjoy 5 sense pleasures objects created by others for them. And in this Tawatingsa, there's one garden called Nanda Navana Garden. It's so beautiful, even dying devas forget their grief when they enter it. And those who are endowed with Dhamma, when enter into this garden, they will forget all the Dhamma. Just like King Sakha. King Sakha one day, before he want to come to this garden, Nanda Navana Garden in Tawatingsa. Before he enter into this garden, he remember he has a question to ask the Lord Buddha. So he came down to the human world and posed the question to the Lord Buddha. Then the Buddha answered him, and he felt very satisfied. Then he called Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. At that time, Venerable Monggalana, using his psychic power, listened, heard the Sakya call Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Then he want to know how much the Sakya has comprehended the Dharma. So he followed the Sakya back to the Tawatingsa. At that time, this King Sakya has already entered into this garden and enjoyed the sensual pleasures. So when the Lord Buddha, when the Monggalana appeared in that garden, he saw, the Sakya saw Venerable Monggalana, and he was very embarrassed. Then the Venerable Monggalana asked him, you have asked the Buddha the question. Can you repeat to me? So the King Sakya squeezed his brain and yet cannot remember even one word. So this shows that when you enjoy in all the sensual pleasures, you forget all the Dhamma. And in this Tawatingsa, one pagoda enshrines Bodhisattva's hair. When Bodhisattva renounced, he cut his hair and threw into the sky. The Sakya received that hair and enshrined it in the pagoda in Tawatingsa. So there's a place for you to accumulate merit if you go to that and pay your homage. And also Buddha's upper tooth. Buddha's upper tooth is also enshrined in the Tawatingsa. So all these are the places where you can accumulate merit in if you stay in the Tawatingsa. And usually in the Deva realm, because if you are powerful Deva, suppose you have accumulated a lot of karma, a lot of good karma in the human realm. So when that takes place, that karma ripens, you will be reborn spontaneously in the Deva realm with 500 in the right and 500 Devis in your left. So surrounded by 1,000 Devis, how can you practice Dhamma? Now, it's very difficult. Unless before you reborn in Deva, you make a prayer. If I reborn in Deva, I just want to stay alone and not surrounded by all these beautiful Devis. If you make a prayer, then that prayer can be actualized. Then, even though you reborn in Deva, you will not indulge in the sensual pleasures. But I think most people want to have more. Okay. So the four woeful states and the six and the seven sensuous blissful states are collectively termed karma loka, sensual planes. And the superior to these sensuous planes are the Brahma realms of or realms of formless, realms of form and formless, or called Rupa Loka and Arupa Loka, where beings delight in jhanic bliss achieved by renouncing sense desires. So after finish six Deva Loka, we come to Rupa Loka. Rupa Loka consists of 16 realms according to the jhanas cultivated. They are plane of the first jhana. Number 1 is Brahma Parisatya, realm of the Brahma's retinue. Number 2, Brahma Purohita, realm of the Brahma's ministers. Number 3, Mahabrahma, realm of the great Brahmas. This Mahabrahma is the god respected by all Hindus. Like Sariputta's mother pay homage to this Mahabrahma, not knowing his son Sariputta is more noble than the Mahabrahma. And why in the first jhana is divided into three? It depends on the degree one develop. If a person develop the first jhana into highest degree and maintain it up to dying moment, then it will be reborn in Mahabrahma. If that person develop the jhana into medium degree and died at that moment, he will be reborn in Brahma Purohita. And if that person develop the jhana into lesser degree, lower degree, then it will be reborn in Brahma Parisaccha. So it depends on the degree of a concentration one cultivated. In the planes of the second jhana, Paritabha, realm of the minor luster, Appamannabha, realm of the infinite luster, Abhasara, realm of the radiant Brahmas. In planes of the third jhana, Paritasubha, realm of the Brahmas of minor aura, Appamannasubha, realm of the Brahmas of infinite aura, and Subhakinna, realm of the Brahmas of steady order. In Abhidhamma, we have five jhanas. But here, plane of existence, we have only four jhana. So the second and third jhana in Abhidhamma were reborn in plane of second jhana. Second and third jhana in Abhidhamma is equal, will take rebirth in the plane of the second jhana here. And the fourth jhana in Abhidhamma were reborn in plane of the third jhana. Then the planes of the fourth jhana, number 10, is called Vihapala, realm of the Brahmas of great rewards. Number 11, Asanyasata, realm of the mindless beings. The beings in this realm has no mind at all. Only like a statue, they stay there for long, long time. Why the beings here has no mind? Why? Why? Because previously, before he take rebirth in the realm of the mindless beings, they think, they considered the mind is a source of suffering. Because of the mind, suffering follows. So they develop the desire to have no mind. So they practice the meditation without desiring the mind. Because of that, then when the karma ripen, that they reborn in this realm, that the realm of the mindless beings. Yeah. And number 12 is called Sudavasa, the pure abodes, which are subdivided into five. This pure abodes only belong to Anagami. So all the pure abodes are dwelt by Anagamis. But not all Anagami take rebirths here. For example, when Buddha, after Buddha's enlightenment, Buddha did not want to preach the Dhamma because he felt that the Dhamma he has penetrated is too deep for other people to understand. So the Mahabrahma, he was Anagami, but he stayed in the first jhana plane. So, although all the Anagami, those who stay in the Sudavasa must be Anagami, but not all Anagami stay in the pure abodes. Okay. And once they stay in the Anagami, the third stage of sainthood, stay in the pure abodes here, they will attain their arahantship here and pass away and enter into Parinibbana here. The next one is immaterial sphere, The immaterial sphere consists of four realms in which the beings, they are totally devoid of matter or body. There's no matter at all, only mind exists. They are Akasa Nancha Yatana, the realm of infinite space, Vinyana Nancha Yatana, the realm of infinite consciousness, and number three, Akinchaya Yatana, the realm of nothingness, and Neva Sanya Nasanya Yatana, the realm of neither perception nor non-perception. There's a disadvantage to stay here if you are the ordinary beings. If you have not yet achieved any supramundane consciousness, and you, if you reborn here, there's one disadvantage. What is the disadvantage? You can't listen to the Dharma. You can't listen to the Dharma because the beings here have no ear consciousness, has no ear sensitivity, so they can't listen to the Dharma. But those who already become noble one, if those who already become noble one and reborn in immaterial sphere, you can continue your practice and attain arahantship there. Now we come to the lifespan of different types of beings. For the woeful planes, four woeful planes have no fixed lifespans. Depending on the potency of the evil karma that produce rebirth there. So the lifespan has no fixed lifespan in four woeful states. For example, Malika. You have heard Queen Malika. Queen Malika was cast into hell only for 7 days. So her lifespan only 7 days in hell. But for Devadatta, his lifespan in hell is an eon. An eon. So there's no fixed lifespan. Like human beings also have no human being has no fixed lifespan. The age limit rises from 10 years to uncountable years, and then falls to 10 years again. Some people die at the age of 10, some people die at the age of 120. So there's no fixed lifespan. And for Deva, Deva have fixed lifespans. For example, the lifespan in Chatu Maharajika is 500 Deva years, but in human is 9 million. 1 year in Chatu Maharajika, 1 day in Chatu Maharajika equal to 50 years in Deva. And in Tawatingsa, the lifespan of Tawatingsa is equal to 36 billion of human year. And the lifespan in Yama is equal to 144 billion year in human. So one day is equal to 50 years in human. Then 1 day in Tawatingsa equal to 100 years in human. And 1 day in Yama equal to 200 years in human. And 1 day in Tusita equal to 400 years in human. And 1 year in Nimmanarati is equal to 800 years, and so on. So if you want to have long life, you pray to reborn in Deva. However, beings are not a permanent dweller in one plane of existence. When the karma produces rebirth in that existence exhausted, rebirth will take place in another plane corresponding to the karma ripened. So long the ignorance and craving have not been uprooted, one has to go round and round in a cycle of rebirths. And the Buddha say, Bhikkhu, this samsara, this round of rebirth, is without discoverable beginning. A first point is not discerned of beings roaming and wandering on, hindered by ignorance and affected by craving. The stream of tears that you have shed as you roam and wandered through this long course, weeping and wailing because of being united with the disagreeable and separated from the agreeable, this alone is more than the four great oceans. Is enough to experience revulsions towards all formations, enough to become dispassionate towards them, and enough to be liberated from them. The tear you have shed, more than the water in the four great oceans. So you should feel enough. You should experience revulsion towards it, and try hard in your meditation to liberate yourself from the round of rebirth. We take a break, it's okay?